This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:49 right now. I'm Melissa Idris with Joyce Goh, guest hosting this morning, Giri Balakrishnan. Now, before we take a look at the biggest headlines of the day, let me just tell you what's coming up on The Breakfast Grill. In about 15 minutes, we will be having Yang Berhormat Ahmad Nasir, Member of Parliament for Johor Bahru, live on the show. Now, if you remember during GE14, this 32-year-old Ahmad Nasir defeated the longtime UMNO veteran Tan Sri Sharif Samad. He was former, I think he was then chairman of FELDA, and he had served in the he had the JB seat, I believe, for 6 non-consecutive terms. So he, Akmal, him took on a titan in Johor politics and won. So we're going to be getting an update from this first time or first term member of parliament on his plans for the future.
Definitely looking forward to his grill with you, Melissa, to hear what are his plans and what's he going to do, being and how does it feel to be a first time
MP. Yeah. But also it's very important because Akmal is still part of the National Oversight and Whistleblowers NGO. If you remember, they were the ones who uncovered the National Feedlot Corporation scandal. Mm. Also the YAPIM, I believe, financial mismanagement. They also helped uncover that, or bring that to light. So more on that in about 15 minutes or so. So stay with us on The Morning Run. But coming back to the EPF, now there's news that the new voluntary contribution for housewives will be carried out in 3 phases. This is starting next Thursday, that's the 15th of August, when housewives will be able to open EPF accounts with a minimum of 5 ringgit. Here is Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, Datuk Sri Dr. Wan Azizah Wan Ismail, summarising the Suri Initiative.
Ini adalah berkaitan sumbangan suami kepada isteri. Isteri-isteri itu lain kira. Dalam bentuk caruman kepada KWSP yang dinamakan insentif suri. Fasa pertama adalah suri rumah yang berkelayakan perlu menyimpan RM5. Barulah kerajaan akan memberikan RM40 sebulan. Fasa kedua sebagai tambahan RM10 sebulan ke perkeso. Dan program akan masuk ke fasa ketiga, 2% daripada gaji suami akan diberikan kepada isteri beliau.
That was Deputy Prime Minister Datuk Sri Dr. Wan Azizah. Now, let's see whether we can paraphrase that in English. So the first phase of the Suri incentive will enable members to save a minimum of 5 ringgit monthly in their EPF account, upon which the government will match a monthly contribution of 40 ringgit.
Yeah, and on phase two, I think they hope to increase it to 50 ringgit, where 10 ringgit will go to Sokso. And phase three will be the 2% contribution from husbands' EPFs to their wives.
This is providing added security for the housewives, and I think it's a good, with very good intention. But the contribution of the government is quite significant compared to the initial rate, where we're looking at an initial contribution of 5 ringgit, and then they're going to up it by 35 ringgit to 40 ringgit. So it's a 45 ringgit input into the housewives' accounts, which is quite significant.
Yeah, so, okay, who is it targeted for, right? So you've got single mothers who will benefit from this, widows, divorced women, single women. The idea is to provide, I believe, a social safety net for these women who may not have access or may not be part of the kind of EPF, may not have sufficient retirement savings down the line. However, I think the program is currently only targeted at eligible recipients in the IKASE database. So I think the success of this program will depend on the how good this data is in the database, right?
So you have to be registered with IKASE, and the government has allocated about 20 million ringgit until the end of 2018 for this phase one. Looking at phase two, I think they hope to launch it in early next year, and that will see the government's contribution raised to 50 ringgit.
So it's going to be rolled out in phases.
Mm.
Increase. And then we've got the third and final phase. This is to allow for 2% of the husband's EPF contribution will go into the housewife's account. Of course, this one would require legislative changes, and there would be amendments to the EPF Act 1991 that need to be made. So we're looking at potentially quite a significant contribution to the housewife's accounts. I think part of this is because traditionally what we've seen is EPF accounts tend to be completely used up on retirement within a period of 3 to 4 years from the time people are actually entitled to take out their money. So this in one instance will actually help to provide a buffer against that complete dilution of those savings for EPF contributors.
Yeah, so this third and final phase, I think they are expecting this to only begin in early 2020. So still some years to go. That's why I think they started this phase one, phase two, to kind of, in a way, janji di tepati, in a way.
It's going, coming up to 100 days, yeah, you know, it Joyce, is, it is. Yeah, you're right, maybe check this one off the list. But also maybe give the government a little bit of breathing room when it comes to its fiscal discipline. They can't be spending so much right now. But, you know, since we're talking about EPF, I think it's also important to note that EPF yesterday had a press conference where they said that they have not been asked to change their mandate in any way. This is, of course, after they now have a new incoming CEO, mm-hmm. Tengku Ali Zakri alias.
Yeah, and he said that there has been no question of the pension fund's mandate remaining solid. In fact, he says that the EPF's role may have expanded. It not only manages the savings of employees, but more actively engages in new administration on issues of social security for right. Malaysians.
So, I think it's interesting that he said, look, you know, Dato' Shahril Rizal Rizwan, he's going on to become Khazanah MD, but for Ali Zakri, the driver might be different, but the direction is still the same, he says.
Good quote there.
All right, well, let's take a quick look at claims that the finance minister made a couple of days ago that 18 billion ringgit, or about 93% of the total input tax credit under the GST system, since 2015, had been misappropriated by the previous government. So I believe he had said the trust fund that was holding the GST input tax is empty.
Yeah, and yesterday the finance minister said that 18 billion ringgit input tax credit under GST has gone missing. So this, the news hook here, the new figure is 18 billion ringgit.
Yeah, and he did say he was going to reveal more details. Yeah, he did.
And only 1.5 billion ringgit remained in the trust fund.
So we're not actually sure where, we had insufficient details really on where exactly these monies come from, how we account for it, whether it's from a timing difference or whether it's been physically removed from the account and allocated for some other expense. I think we just have to wait and see where this argument takes us.
Yeah, but Lim Guan Eng actually made quite a strong claim. He said that, in quotes, what actually happened is a forgery of accounts and misappropriation of the refunds for other users or to close the deficit.
Wow.
So, yeah. And
strong,
he's saying,
strong claims.
Yeah,
there.
And he's saying that they're working on it and urge businesses to be patient when it comes to the input tax credit refund. He says that they will get back the money. They're just working on it and, you know, you just have to be patient.
All right. So, we've had responses from the opposite aisle of the political divide. We have Khairi Jamaluddin urging the government to take the case of this missing 18 billion ringgit to court if it's true. So when in Parliament yesterday, so if it's true that a misappropriation had happened, then bring it to court. Dato' Ahmad Mazlan, that is former Deputy Finance Minister, he said that, well, isn't it the Finance Minister's job to recover the missing funds? So he says, if you want to take over the government, then you've got to take along the debts with it.
Well, yeah. Also, yesterday, the Dewan Rakyat passed the sales and services tax system. It's going to go live on September 1st. That is if Dewan Negara approves it, right? And so looking at this, I think what's new, what's interesting is that some parts of it has been expanded. So like for definition of hotel, that's going to include bed and breakfast, shared accommodation, as well as service apartments and homestays, like including like Airbnbs.
Oh, so does that mean that Airbnbs could be charged a service tax?
Looks like it, yeah. And also the scope of restaurant services, also that's going to include food caterings and takeaways, food trucks, as well as the
food trucks. Okay.
So as well as the provision of F&B at retail outlets. So you can see that, you know, they have expanded the scope for some industries.
Yeah, this expansion comes from the basic threshold is still maintained at businesses which are earning a revenue of $500,000, but from this services side, the hotels and food side, they have raised the annual sales to $1 million and above.
Actually, it's for restaurants.
Restaurants,
yeah. They were given a special consideration with the tax enforceable on establishments, annual sales of 1 million ringgit and above.
And above,
yeah.
Right.
All right, we're coming up to the 8 o'clock news with Sabrina Magdalene. After that, The Breakfast Grill with YB Akmal Nasser, the first-term MP for Johor Bahru. Now, you can weigh in on the conversation on WhatsApp and Twitter. So WhatsApp is 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So stay tuned to The Breakfast Grill after the 8 o'clock news right here on BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.